Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us a special guest I've been looking forward to interviewing for a long time, Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we're going to be talking about vaccination and what you should know. Now, I had a friend of mine whose grandson was born this last week, and almost in the recovery room, certainly in the nursery, within 2 hours of birth, they'd already given the hepatitis B vaccination. The next day they were going to go ahead and give all sorts of other vaccinations. They told the parents, you can't take the child out of the hospital and let them have all these vaccines we want to give them, because we want to protect your child from disease. Well, Dr. Cave, what do you think about this process of immunizing children just a few hours after birth and giving them so many vaccines so soon after birth?
I, of course, don't agree with that at all. I don't think we ought to be giving the hepatitis B vaccine to babies, period, unless the mother is hepatitis B positive, which we've always done. But I think giving a vaccine like that to a child that's 1 day old or 2 days old, I think it will hurt the immune system. I don't think the immune system's ready for anything like that.
Yeah, and
we gave it through the 90s with thimerosal in it as a preservative. It was, you know, even a bigger problem.
And, of course, supposedly they've taken the thimerosal out of that, but then they told us all that we all had to get vaccinated for influenza, and every child should be vaccinated, and older people. And weren't there toxic doses of thimerosal in that influenza vaccine?
Yes, absolutely. And children have to have, the little ones have to have 2 doses of that. I couldn't believe that we came out with that recommendation in the midst of the thimerosal controversy.
And, of course, what's wrong for our listeners out there who don't really know? What's wrong with thimerosal?
Thimerosal contains ethyl mercury, and ethyl mercury is a powerful neurotoxin. We're treating right now over 2,000 autistic children that I believe have been injured through the thimerosal in the vaccines. And these children lose speech, they lose eye contact, they're socially isolating themselves. And these are children that were fine in the first year of life and usually check out somewhere during the second year of life, lose speech in a regressive manner. So we're looking at autism now in 1 in 150 children, where it used to be 1 in 10,000 children many, many years ago.
And, of course, the government has almost acknowledged that there are dangers due to thimerosal because, of course, they've suggested it be taken out. Of all the regular childhood vaccines, they just happened to leave it in the influenza vaccine. And then, of course, the administration tried to get a special bill passed with the Office of Homeland Security so that no suits could ever be brought against Eli Lilly, which had used something they knew was neurotoxic. Just because it was a lot easier to make your vaccines using a thimerosal than to do what was right. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, and do you know that was repealed because the parents marched in Washington and took these children up there with them?
And I think it really shows that we can have an influence.
Yes.
We can even, of course, keep something that the Bush administration was intent on getting through, if we apply ourselves. Well, our special guest today is Dr. Stephanie Cave. And we're going to be talking about vaccines, and you need to have the information, because not all vaccines are bad. But the way they're being given is bad and is being harmful. And of course, some of the great medical advances have been vaccines. Some of the worst tragedies have been vaccines. So we're going to be exploring all of these issues in just a moment here, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this afternoon, Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we're going to be talking about vaccines. And Dr. Cave, you are a practicing physician, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And where do you practice?
I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right, fine. And you've written extensively on the subject. So why don't you sort of give our guests sort of an overview of how you view vaccines. Is there a place at all for giving vaccines to children?
Yes, I think there is. I just wish that we had safe vaccines, or at least proof of safety studies. And I have a problem with giving vaccines on the day of birth or right around birth to children whose mothers are not hepatitis B positive. I think if we give the vaccines fewer on one day, give them a little bit later in the infancy, possibly starting at the fourth month. And I wrote a book on how to do this more safely. And in the book, I have the schedule starting at about 4 months. I don't give all of the vaccines that we normally give on one day. I start with Hib and IPV, which is polio, and then I give DTaP on its own day in another month.
Now, that's diphtheria, the tetanus, and the acellular pertussis, right.
And then we go on month by month trying to just space them out so that it's not too hard on the child's immune system, giving some cod liver oil as vitamin A and some vitamin C to help protect that immune system. And then when we get to the child over 1 year of age, I hold the chickenpox vaccine. I don't give it to a one-year-old because I have a problem with that one, too. I give the MMR split out as measles, mumps, and rubella.
You give them separate?
Yes.
What about giving the mumps vaccine to girls? Is this necessary?
It's probably not necessary to give mumps vaccines to girls.
Or even to give a rubella vaccine to boys.
Yes, we give a rubella vaccine to boys to protect the moms in case they're rubella negative.
All right.
But if we could give the rubella vaccine to girls, say at 12, 13 years of age before they're becoming pregnant, that might also solve the problem. I think there are a lot of other ways that we could do it. The way it's done right now is probably not the best way.
But of course, it seems that this is a great social experiment. The planners say, well, you know, we want to see what's going to happen if we give everybody hepatitis B in the nursery, and if we give all these early. But it seems to be there's very little common sense. Would you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree there's very little common sense used. And you know, they've told us that the mercury has been taken out, but in many cases...
Hold that thought for just a moment, Dr. Cave. All right, Dr. Stan, and our special guest today is Dr. Stephanie Cave, who practices in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She's written a book on vaccination, and we'll probably be wanting to get that and carry it because I think it's important. At least parents have some sort of a guideline as to what needs to be done. And Dr. Cave was just saying we've been told that they've taken the thimerosal, the ethylmercury, out of the vaccines. Have they done that, or are they not being entirely truthful?
They've taken some of the thimerosal out, but in some of the vaccines, it's been left in as a sterilizer because they've made the vaccine, the larger dose batch with it, and then it's been put into single-dose vials. There are a couple of brands that are thimerosal-free, and there's one that has been thimerosal-free through the whole period of time.
But you see, the average parent doesn't know, and the average doctor, well, he doesn't know either. He simply goes along with what he's told by the CDC, and I've been to the CDC, and... when I was active in the AIDS battle, and we've got some people there who I really have no respect for at all. They're not honest. So how can the average individual find out if there's thimerosal in the vaccine that the doctor wants to give, and what should they do if they find there is thimerosal there?
Well, the package insert in the ingredient should contain thimerosal if it's in there, even as a sterilizer, and I would tell them not to give a shot to the child if it contains thimerosal.
You would definitely say don't do it.
I think we have more risk doing it than not giving the shot at all. And the fact that we have brands of the vaccines, of every vaccine that we need to give, that are thimerosal-free, there's no reason for us to risk that.
But, you know, the average person is never going to ask the doctor to read the package insert. I know I went to the doctor recently who wanted to give me a blood pressure medicine. And, you know, he was telling me all the advantages of the blood pressure medicine. Now I'm 75. I've had systolic hypertension of about 150 for about 50 years. And he's telling me how wonderful this is and how it's going to save my life. I read the package insert, scared me to death. The cost-benefit ratio may be 1%, I might live, maybe 2%, I might live a little bit longer if I took the medicine. That certainly wouldn't counterbalance the possibility of all the complications that can come from medicines. Do you really think doctors read the package inserts? As a physician, would you say that's accurate?
No, the doctors do not read package inserts, and my son came across this. He took his daughter into a pediatrician, and the pediatrician brought out a 10-dose vial of DTP and told him that this was preservative-free and that he should give it to his child. And he said, well, that's a 10-dose vial. If that's preservative-free, I don't want you sticking a needle in there 10 times and giving one of them to my daughter. And she said, well, you know, you have a point there. Let me get the package insert. So she got the package insert and realized it said thimerosal and was real surprised. And then brought out a single-dose vial and said, I'm positive this is thimerosal-free. The drug rep told me that this was. So my son looked at the package insert, and sure enough, it had thimerosal as a sterilizer. So she just told him he would have to buy a whole batch of thimerosal-free himself to get one shot from it. And, you know, it was pretty abrupt with him after that.
Well, but I think that she's not going to have to take care of an autistic child.
No.
That's up to the parent. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be responsible for yourself and your children. Because unfortunately, when you challenge the doctor, and I know I've been a doctor, there's an ego problem built into being a physician, and especially when you're a surgeon. That's just a little less than God, or maybe it's a little over God, I'm not sure. But of course, I say that with tongue in cheek. But you've just got to say, I'm responsible. And if there's a problem, unless you want to accept full responsibility for any complications, then let me make my decisions for what happens to my child. And I believe, now we were told that they've taken the thimerosal out. If that's really not true?
They've taken the preservative out of some, but they still have thimerosal in many vaccines.
And of course they left it in the influenza vaccine, and then they told us we should give it to our children. With up to 250 times the accepted dose for one shot, and that is criminal activity. And the fact you're not hearing about that from Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, I suggest they're getting an awful lot of money not to reveal but to conceal the truth from the American people and from the parents. And I think that autism is one of the most tragic things that could happen to a child. Don't you feel that way, Dr. Cave, treating these children?
It is quite tragic. But I'll tell you, the children are turning around with therapy. We're doing metabolic treatment with them, restoring the nutrients and pulling the metals out. We had two yesterday that had totally turned around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
100% normal.
Now, are you actually going ahead and giving them certain medicines to pull the mercury out, to wash it out of the system?
Yes, we use DMSA, which is over-the-counter as well as being prescription, and it's approved by the FDA to pull lead from children. It also pulls mercury. But we see a lot of metals in these kids. Once they're given the mercury and the aluminum through the vaccines, their liver detoxification systems can't act anymore. They're out of chemistry, so they hold lead and arsenic, antimony, tin. We see all kinds of metals in them. And we concentrate on taking these out with the DMSA.
All right, fine. So are there doctors who are specialized in this? Because, you know, I think for the average parent, if you have an autistic child, you don't know where to turn. Do you have a website that where you can make recommendations or where you can advise people as to what to do? Because most people aren't going to be able to get to Baton Rouge.
No. Well, the Autism Research Institute in San Diego is the group that we're working with right now doing this protocol. And we have several hundred physicians throughout the country who are doing it. So you can get a list of doctors from them. And I think it's autismresearchinstitute.com.
All right.
And if not, you can call them in San Diego, and they can give you the list of doctors for your area.
All right, that's the Autism Research Institute in the San Diego area. So, and here in California, at least we have a pretty good grasp on this, because autism is a reportable disease, and it's gone from 1 in 10,000 up to either 1 in 250 or some places even 1 in 125 children now are autistic. And of course, how many other children will have, permanent mental problems, whether it would be ADH or ADD or decrease in their mental capacity, even though they're not frankly autistic. I know Dr. Mark Geyer. Are you acquainted with Dr. Geyer?
Yes, I am.
And he says that it may be up to almost one child in five as a result of these toxicity that's produced by the vaccines. Do you think, is that pretty far out?
No. Dr. Geyer actually went into this from the other side, thinking he was going to disprove this whole theory. And when he got into looking at the information in the VAERS reporting system, he found that there was only one conclusion that could be made, and that was that thimerosal had started this whole autism epidemic. He also said the MMR can be involved, and this doesn't have thimerosal in it. But he's thoroughly convinced, and he's published at least four or five times this year in major journals, and has given us some pretty solid information. And what was interesting, he actually proved that there was a 2.48 times risk of neurological damage in a child who received 62.5 micrograms of ethyl mercury before 3 months of age. And this was exactly what the CDC had found in a study they did in 2000 that was not published.
Now, they knew that the thimerosal was toxic because they had one group of children that had taken DPT with thimerosal and another group that hadn't. And they actually concealed that truth because, after all, think of all the lawsuits against Eli Lilly.
Well, I think they wanted to save the vaccine program, too. But that CDC study was published finally this past November. And when the study came out, the conclusions were very different from that original study. So Congressman Dave Weldon has written a letter to Dr. Gabberding, who's the head of the CDC, to try to get some answers about why the same data reveals two different outcomes.
Because the old idea that figures don't lie, but liars figure. If the American people knew of all the damage that has been done by the vaccine program, they'd lose confidence in them. And I believe, as you do, that vaccines have done a great deal of good.
Yes.
But, of course, I wish they could be honest with us.
Well, I wish we could have some safe vaccines. And I think we need to hold the industry responsible to give us safe vaccines.
Well, now, how do you feel about the polio vaccine? Because it's my understanding that we had the Salk vaccine, then we went to the Sabin vaccine, which was a live vaccine. Now we've gone back to the Sabin vaccine, which is a killed vaccine. Have you any thoughts on why they changed? And, of course, how effective is the Sabin vaccine? My understanding is nowhere near as effective as the Salk was.
Well, the oral vaccine was probably more effective, but since 1979, the only cases of polio were through the oral vaccine. So it was taken out in 2000 when we realized it was actually giving more polio than we were seeing through the wild virus. But what happened with the injectable vaccine back in the 50s and 60s, it was contaminated from the rhesus monkey kidney that it was grown in with SV40 virus, and that virus has been found in tumors.
In other words, this was a cancer-producing virus, and they just didn't bother to check it thoroughly enough, and they contaminated up to 90 million Americans with a cancer-producing virus from a monkey?
Yes, and then they changed in the 60s to green monkey kidney, and when they changed to green monkey, they were trying to get away from the SV40 virus, but what they did was to transfer the cells of the polio plus the viral cells from one monkey to the other. So the green monkey ended up, we think, with contamination from SV40 virus too.
And of course, we got the viruses from the green monkey as well. It's the cytomegalic virus, and there's certain questions as to whether that may be hazardous. Have you looked at all into the cytomegalic viruses we got from the monkey, green monkeys?
We see if we test these children for cytomegalovirus, the majority of them are positive. They've had an infection at some point. They're usually not infected at the present time, but they have at least antibodies that show that they've had an infection.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a few moments here with Dr. Stephanie Cave, and we'll tell you how to get hold of a copy of her book. And, of course, do you have a website, Dr. Cave?
I don't as yet. We're working on it.
Well, there's so much to do, and especially when you're practicing medicine. I know how hard it is to do things on the side, which is why I had to give up the practice of medicine, because I think that getting the truth to the American people in some respects may save an awful lot more lives than I ever did practicing medicine. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Stephanie Cave. Tape set, genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000. Alimax.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were telling you about a little earlier about the four tapes that we have. It's called the A New Order of the Barbarians. And Dr. Day had heard a talk given by, Dr. Dunnigan had heard a talk given by Dr. Richard Day. He wasn't the director of the Planned Parenthood. He was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. But this is one of the most devastating four tape sets. Now, we actually have this in a special four tape set along with a complete transcript of this, and I think you'll be fascinated if you have the opportunity to listen to these four tapes, because Dr. politics. Our four tape set on the secret government and our four tape set on secret societies must listening. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Thank you.
Well, the HIV vaccine has actually decreased the numbers of HIV meningitis.
I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.